चल स्टार्ट माताजी।
हरे कृष्ण
या श्योर माताजी। हरे कृष्णा आई वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू आवर भक्ति संघ जपा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल ऑफ अवर चैतन्य चरितामृत। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हर ग्रेस कीर्तिदास सुंदरी माताजी टू एनलाइटन ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ चैतन्य चरितामृत अंत्यलीला। थैंक यू सो मच कीर्तिदास सुंदरी माताजी फॉर joining this session and giving your very valuable time and association and enlightening on the topic of Antya Leela from 3.196 Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Mataji. I now hand over the call to you Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much Shyama Sapriya Mataji for your wonderful chanting, wonderful recitation of Bhagavad Gita chapter 15. And warmly welcoming and introducing everybody. So just to one thing before I start, is my voice audible or I need to put headphones?
Good Mataji, good.
Okay. And second, I really apologize because of some internet issues. Today I'll not be going live and I've joined through phone with one tap mobile. I'm not on Zoom, so I can't see anybody and nobody can see me also. So I really apologize for that. But thank you everyone for your wonderful participation, for your wonderful association. All of your association is the only solace for the people like me in this Kali Yuga. So thank you so much. I'm really grateful to each and every one of you for joining. So we'll start. Thank you so much. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 3, entitled The Glories of Haridas Thakur. And today we'll start with text number 196. Bhakti sukha age mukti ati tuchahaya ataiva bhakta gana mukti nahi laya. For a devotee who enjoys the transcendental bliss of devotional service, liberation is most insignificant. Therefore, pure devotees never desire to achieve liberation. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति चारु स्वामी निति नामिने स्निग्ध चेता सुप्रनेता वाग्मीमा सरसाप्लतम प्रभुपाद गता प्राण नामी भक्ति चारु पदम नमा ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरं यत्कृपहातं हम वंदे श्री गुरु दीनधारिणं। हरे कृष्ण डियर डिवोटीज, so once again, I welcome all of you and thank you so much. Really grateful to each and every one of you for joining, for showing your deep interest in hearing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and giving your valuable association. And I really beg wishes, prayers, blessings from each and every one of you to please shower so that I can speak something relevant and convey the right message as been conveyed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Bhashala Prabhupada and our Guru Vargas. Vancha Kalpa Tarupascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Anantakoti Vaishnav Rindhi Ki Jaya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. श्री कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी की जय। गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। ओके सो इन द लास्ट क्लास इन द सेम चैप्टर वी सॉ द होम पास्ट टाइम ऑफ रामचंद्र खान दैट हाउ ही ऑफेंडेड द वैष्णवस एंड ही बेयर ऑल द कॉन्सिक्वेंसेस ऑफ इट एंड वी सॉ दैट हाउ Haridas Thakur liberated that prostitute, you know, who came to defame Haridas Thakur, has now became a devotee of Haridas Thakur and she took initiation from him. And finally, following his footsteps, she started chanting 3 lakh names as Haridas Thakur was doing. So there we ended and then after initiating Haridas Thakur, he came to one of the village, which is known as Chandpur. And there he got associated with Balaram Acharya. So following the format of the class, we'll do a little bit of recap and then we'll come to today's verse. And then as per time permits, we will move on to future verses and then we'll see that how many verses we'll be able to cover. But just a quick recap of today's verse, what's the context, how it came and, you know, just to refresh our memory. So, Haridas Thakur, then, you know, finally after initiating that lady and instructing her what to do and how to follow all the rules and regulations, he moved forward and then he went to one of the village which is known as Chandpur and there he got associated with Balaram Acharya. So actually who was Balaram Acharya? He was the priest of that area, that Chandpur. And in that area there were two governmental treasurers and those treasurers, they are known as Majumdars. So we have to understand that, you know, now we see that, you know, there is a surname which is known as Majumdar, so and so Majumdar. But actually, the Majumdars, they are basically referred to as the treasurers who basically keep accounts of all the revenue that has been there with the state or district. So there were two Majumdars, there were two governmental treasurers, and their name was Hiranya and Govardhan. Okay, so these were the two names and their priest was Balaram Acharya who practically, you know, helped Haridas Thakur in the village of Chandpur. So Balaram Acharya was very much favorable to Haridas Thakur. He got really attracted to him and therefore he first gave shelter in his home and later in the village itself, he built a solitary thatched cottage for Haridas Thakur. So that Haridas Thakur can do his bhajan and can chant his japa. But also, you know, Haridas Thakur would accept all prasadam at Balaram Acharya's house, who was the priest of that district of Chandpur. So in one of the verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, just to give an idea that who these people are, so he just gave that one of the Majumdar, who was Govardhan. Remember, we said Hiranya and Govardhan were the two Majumdars, were the two governmental treasurers. So one of the governmental treasurer, one of the Majumdar, whose name was Govardhan, he had a son whose name was Raghunath Das. And he is the same Raghunath Das who later became as one of the six Goswamis as Raghunath Das Goswami, also known as very lovingly by the devotees as Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami father was Govardhan Majumdar. So when Haridas Thakur was there, at that time Raghunath Das Goswami was just a little boy and he would really come and, you know, he would be so attracted to the mood and the attitude and the, you know, polite behavior of Haridas Thakur that he would frequently come to see Haridas Thakur and, you know, he would get some studies also under the direction of Haridas Thakur. So just a context, you know, who they were and who is Raghunath Das Goswami and how Raghunath Das Goswami also got the mercy of Haridas Thakur. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is just putting a context, you know, just giving us a little bit of hint. that how, due to this mercy of a Vaishnava, Haridas Thakur, how Raghunath Das Goswami was benefited and later he got shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And today we know that Raghunath Das Goswami or Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis. So anyways, this was just, you know, a side note that Krishnath Kaviraj Goswami entertained. And later, you know, now he's narrating one of the story that how at the residence of Hiranyangan Govardhan Majumdar, there used to be a lot of discourses that is being taking place on various scriptural topics. And in one of the discourse, you know, Haridas Thakur was invited. He was very much glorified. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is narrating that one of the pastime that happened, one of the day in which Haridas Thakur was present in the house of this Hiranyan Govardhan Majumdar, and then what happened. So one day what happened is Balaram Acharya, he requested Haridas Thakur that why don't you come to those assembly of Majumdars, that is Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, and there, you know, there are a lot of discourses that is being taking place on various scriptural topics. So kindly please come up on that on one day, you know, and just bless us with your association. So Haridas Thakur simply agreed. And one day they all, Balaram Acharya and Haridas Thakur, they went to their home. And just seeing Haridas Thakur, both the brothers, they immediately stood up and they fell flat, prostrate obeisances in front of Haridas Thakur. And they offered a place to sit. Basically, you know, with great respect, with full Vaishnava Sadachar, they welcomed Haridas Thakur. And in that assembly, though Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar were very much learned, but everyone desired to, you know, that we should today hear something from Haridas Thakur. And first of all, were glorifying Haridas Thakur, both the brothers, all the assembled Vaishnavas, they were extremely happy. And then they glorified Haridas Thakur, saying that Tina Laksha Nama Thakura Charena Kirtana. So this is also one of the praman that one can say, that we always say that Haridas Thakur used to chant 300 lakh names. Oh, sorry, 300,000 names of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. Then what's the praman? So here, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, they are glorifying Haridas Thakur and saying, Tina Laksha Naam. Laksha means lakh. 3 lakhs name, that is 300,000 as we call in American English. So, Tina Laksha Naam Thakura Karena Kirtana. So, they are saying that Haridas Thakur is chanting 3 lakhs name of the holy name every day. So, we can do the mathematics at our own. So, 3 lakhs names of the Supreme Lord means 192 rounds that Haridas Thakur used to chant. And we are chanting minimum of 16 rounds, which is almost equal to 28,000 names of the holy name. So just see, like, we are chanting 16 rounds, which is 28,000, and Haridas Thakur used to chant 3 lakhs names, 300,000 names every day. So this is also one of the praman. And there in that assembly, you know, some of them, they said that, wow, you are chanting so many names. And one of them said that by chanting the holy name, one is freed from the reactions of sinful life, which is not wrong. Others said, oh no, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, a living being is liberated from material bondage, which is also not wrong. But Haridas Thakur, he just protested. He said, Namira Phala Krishna Pade Prema Upajaya. He said that yes, these two benedictions, that whatever you are saying, that, you know, by chanting the holy name, one is freed from the reactions of sinful life and one is free from the, you know, the living entity is freed from the material bondage. It's right, but these are just the byproducts of the chanting the holy name of the Lord. These are just the byproducts. What actually happens when one chants with the Shuddha, you know, without any offenses, when one chants the holy name of the Supreme Lord, then what happened is, Namera Phale, you know, the result, the phala of chanting the holy name is, Krishna Pade Prema Upajaya. The immediately awakens the ecstatic love for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So Haridas Thakur simply said that, you know, by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord without offenses, the ecstatic prema, you know, it gets awakened up for the lotus feet of Krishna. And yes, all those things, that reactions, you know, one is freed from the reactions of sinful life and one is liberated from all kind of material bondage. These things do happen, but they are just the byproduct. And then Haridas Thakur quotes that when a person is actually advanced and he takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord who is very dear to him, he's agitated and he loudly chants the holy name irrespective. He just chants like a madman. He doesn't care for the outsiders. He has no shy, you know, no shame on chanting the holy name. He just chants loudly wherever he is. So that's how this ecstatic prema develops. You know, he doesn't care that who will talk about me and what they'll talk about me. So he surpasses that kind of situation. And he said that liberation and all this extension of the reactions on the sinful life, yes, that happens, but yeah, they are just the byproducts of the chanting of the holy name. And then he gives a very beautiful analogy. And that analogy he gives is, he said that the example of this is found in the morning sunlight. Just as the rising sun, it dissipates the darkness from all the world. So what happens is, when the sun is not fully risen, still, you know, it is a Brahma Muhurta time, and after that Brahma Muhurta, you see that there is little bit glimpse of sun, you know, the sun has not risen yet, but just the glimpse, you can feel that, you know, the darkness has been dissipated. And that darkness, which is so deep like an ocean, it gets dissipated. So similarly, those who chant the holy name of the Lord without offenses, again coming back to a Namabhas state, that just if a person is a Namabhas, it will be just like the rising of the first ray of the sun. And that dissipates all the darkness. So even the same chanting, which is chanted without offenses, it dissipates all the reactions of one's sinful life. So then he says, all glory is to the holy name. Jayati Jan Mangalam Hare Rinama. So this is also the verse which has been mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami at Sadhyavali. Anyway, after reciting this verse, Haridas Thakur told, you know, the assembly that, you know, now it's up to you. You all can please go ahead and explain this analogy in full detail and explain the meaning of this verse. But all the audience said that we want to hear it from you. So kindly, you please go ahead and explain the importance of this verse. And then Haridas Thakur continued. He said that as the sun begins to rise, even before it is visible, even before the sun is fully visible, the darkness of the night is completely dissipated. So with the first glimpse of sunlight, the darkness gets immediately dissipated. So when the sun is actually visible, then what happens? Everything gets manifested. And everybody goes and performs their religious and regulative duties. So similarly, he's saying that the first glimpse of chanting the holy name, offenselessly, the Lord's holy name, it awakens, it dissipates the reactions of sinful life immediately. So what Haridas Thakur is saying, that we don't have to come on to the level of a Shuddh Naam in order to get rid of the reactions of the sinful life. All these things happen even at a Namabha stage only. When there is a glimpse of love of chanting is there, at that time only, that effect of chanting dissipates the reactions of sinful life. And when one comes on to the chanting of the holy name offenselessly, it is just like a fully risen sun that awakens the ecstatic love in the heart of a living entity. That ecstatic love for the love of Krishna, that Krishna prema gets awakened. So what Haridas Thakur wants to say is that don't worry about, you know, reactions of your sinful life or, you know, liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Oh, these are just the byproducts. So they happen even at a stage of a nama bhas. What to talk about nama, shodhanam. Even at nama bhas, you know, all these things happen. But it's just like how the sun, the first, before actually the sun has risen, the first light, the glimpse of sun, how it dissipates the darkness. Similarly, in a Namabhas stage, this chanting can give you all kind of liberation from material bondage and reactions of all your sinful life. But once the sun has actually risen, wow, now you can see everything so clearly. Everything gets manifested so nicely. So similarly, when one chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly in a pure Shuddha Naam, then it awakens the service, you know, the ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. So then he, Haridas Thakur continued, Mukti tuchha phala hai nama bhasa halte, that liberation is the insignificant result that is derived from the glimpse, just a glimpse of awakening of offenseless chanting of the holy name, means the Namabha state. And then he gives the example that how Ajamil, you know, we have gone through a lot of time about the situation of Ajamil, that how Ajamil also called out his son Narayana. And then later he attains the spiritual world. So what to speak? At that time, Ajamil was chanting, it was a Namabhas, because he wasn't really concerned of calling the Supreme Lord. He was just calling the name of his son as Narayana. So what to talk about those people, those devotees who are chanting the holy name and have some kind of faith and some reverence towards the Supreme Lord. So definitely, as compared to what Ajamil got, those devotees will get much more benefit, because now they know that whom they are calling out, and they are calling out with full faith. So definitely their degree of faith and conviction is much more higher, and definitely the phala, the result that they will get, will be much more higher as compared to Ajamil. And then Haridas Thakur continued that liberation, you are talking about liberation. Oh, liberation is the least in the list, the last actually is in the list of a pure devotee. And sometimes it is not even in the list of a pure devotee, because liberation is not even acceptable by a pure devotee. Why? He always wants to offer his service to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very, very happy to give bhukti and mukti. You know, the enjoyments of this material world and the liberation from this material world. If somebody goes and asks Krishna, Krishna is very happy to give those. But Krishna is very diligent in giving bhakti, because Krishna knows once I give bhakti means I have to give myself. I'll become a slave in the hand of that devotee. And nobody likes to be a slave. We know we are qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. So we also, being in a living being like we jivas, we also don't like to become a slave for anybody. So definitely Krishna, who is we and Krishna, Ishwar and Jiva, they are qualitatively one, right? Quantitatively, yes, there is a huge difference. So Krishna also doesn't like to be the slave of any living being. So he said that, oh, I'm not going to give you bhakti, because the moment Krishna provides bhakti means he'll become the sold out servant to that devotee. And he doesn't want to. So therefore, when we ask bhakti and mukti from Krishna, oh, he is very happy. He said, okay, you take it, you enjoy it, and leave me alone. But the moment if we ask bhakti, and Krishna is little reluctant, and he wants to test us through his agency of Maya, that we really want Krishna, or we are still, you know, our hidden agenda is kind of getting some kind of liberation or some kind of material enjoyment. And then Haridas Thakur quote this very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Salokya Srishti Sarupya Samipya Ekatvam Epa Utam Diyamanam Nagranandi Vina Mat Sevanam Jana. And then he describes that there are various kinds of liberation. Salokya. Salokya is a kind of liberation, getting the same planet as that of the Supreme Lord. Sarshti is the liberation, getting the same opulence as the Supreme Lord. Sarupya is getting the same form as the Supreme Lord. And Samipya is to get close to the Supreme Lord. And then these are the four. And then Ekatvam Apiyutta means getting oneness, getting merging into the Supreme Lord. That is the Sayujya Mukti. So all these liberations, you know, Krishna says that even if I offer, but still the devotees are not ready to accept because they always want to serve me. So the point is that devotees does not reject these liberation out of some kind of arrogance. No, they reject all these kind of liberation out of humility. They say, how can I, being just an insignificant jiva, can have this opportunity in staying the same planet or getting the same opulence or getting the same form or getting so close to the Lord? No, out of humility, the devotees normally reject these kinds of liberation. But yes, what they want is to serve the Supreme Lord, to serve the lotus feet. And while serving, if they get to close to the Lord, or they get the same opulence as of the Lord, or they get to stay at the same place where the Lord is, then yes, everything is welcomed. But the main thing, what devotee want, is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna knows, Krishna says himself that even if I give all kind of liberations, still my pure devotee is least bothered, because his main objective of doing any kind of thing or devotional thing is to serve me. They want to serve me. And that's what Haridas Thakur wants to bring up this point, and he presented very well in the whole assembly of those Vaishnavas. But at that time, what happened is, there is a twist now in this pastime, that at that time there was another person whose name was Gopala Chakravarti, and who was basically a chief tax collector. He came there, and when he heard all this, actually Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he writes that he was a chief tax collector who is also known as Arinda Pradhan. Arinda is a person who collects all kind of taxes. But since he was the chief of among all those tax collectors, he is known as Arinda Pradhan. So he used to collect all kind of taxes, and he used to collect 1,200,000 coins, and he used to deposit in the treasury of that emperor. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very beautifully describes that he was quite a learned man, Gopala Chakravarti. He was very handsome, his bodily features. We'll come to know that why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing his bodily features, because we always hear, right, what to talk about this body. We should talk about the attitude of that person or the devotional activities that a person do. But here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is glorifying his personal beauty, that how handsome Gopal Chakravarti was. And he was in his full youth. He was youthful. He was very learned also. But, you know, his bodily features were extremely beautiful. And at that time, when he came and he heard all these statements that was narrated by Haridas Thakur, he really became offensive. And he said, oh, I can't tolerate all this. How can one get the love of Godhead by glimpsing? One can attain. He said that how can just by the glimpse of the holy name, one can attain liberation. He said, I'm not going to accept this. And to this, Prabhupada also comments that how Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he says, you know, Mukti Swe Muktanjali Sevate Asman. So he says that if somebody engages in pure devotional service unto the Supreme Lord with full determination, then Krishna himself becomes visible in his own original youthful form in front of that jiva. And as far as the liberation is concerned, this liberation, this mukti, swayam, herself, this mukti, who is one of the energy of the Supreme Lord, she stands with mukta anjali. Mukulita anjali means with folded hands. Anjali means your palms, right? And mukulita anjali means with folded hands in the move of service. Sevate asma, in the mood of service, waiting to render service to that devotee, she stands before that devotee. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur says that as far as the mukti or liberation is concerned, oh, she herself, you know, she stands before the devotee with folded hands, and she is very eager, she is waiting to render service to that jiva. So this is the position of one who chants the holy name. So moving forward, Gopala Chakravarti said, hey, I'm not going to hear whatever Haridas Thakur says. And he rejected everything. And he said, you all, those who are present in that assembly, why are you hearing the, you know, the comments or the commentaries that have been given by such a person who is just a Bhavura Siddhanta, means he, whatever he is saying, he is just telling out of emotion. So he is saying that he is an emotional person. So why are you listening to this Siddhanta? And in this way, he was simply criticizing Haridas Thakur. And then, because he was quite learned, even Gopala Chakravarti, he said that after millions and millions of years, you know, when one gets into that complete absolute knowledge, still one cannot achieve liberation. And this person is simply saying that just by the glimpse of the holy name, one gets complete liberation. So I don't know why you all are listening to him. And to this, Haridas Thakur said, why are you so doubtful? Why are you doubting the potency of the holy name? And this is not what I am saying out of my mental concoction. It is the statement of all the revealed scriptures that one can attain liberation simply by the glimpse of offenseless chanting of the holy name. It's not me who is saying, I'm just stating the Shastra. And then today's verse, he said that for a devotee who enjoys the transcendental bliss of devotional service, liberation is most insignificant. They don't care for liberation. Therefore, pure devotees doesn't desire for liberation. And then, you know, very beautiful verse that Haridas Thakur quotes, Tvat Sakshat Karna Ahlad Vishuddha Dabdi Sthitasya Me Sukhani Goshpadayante Brahmani Api Jagat Guru. So this is one of the words that is being quoted in Hari Bhakti Shubhodaya. And that's what the purport says. But the real meaning is that Tvat Sakshat Karana, when one Sakshat, one gets the direct meeting of the Supreme Lord, Ahlad, he gets so much pleasure. And he gets so much spiritually purified, Vishuddha. He comes in that Vishuddha stage, that spiritually purified stage. He gets situated, Sthitasya. And that purified stage is just like a ocean. It becomes a great ocean of bliss when a person comes in direct contact with the Supreme Lord, whether in like in a personal form or through chanting the holy name of the Lord, because everything is absolute for Krishna, right? His name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, they all are on the absolute plane. So when somebody comes in the direct association with the Supreme Lord, then he gets himself sealed as if he is in a very vast ocean which is full of bliss. It is full of bliss. And in that situation, when he's situated, when that devotee is situated in that ocean, then he realized that so-called happiness of, you know, this liberation or even Brahmanda, they look like as if a small water that is contained in a calf of print. So he's saying that the pleasure that is derived by understanding Krishna, the all-attractive reservoir of pleasure-giving taste,
when one gets attracted to wind, then what happens that by the virtue of that attraction, one gives up all kind of fruitive activities and even the desire for liberation. And you know, this is what happens, and it looks like so insignificant that that position of being liberated, or the position of material enjoyment, or position of getting away from all kind of sinful reactions or material bondage, they just look like a water that is contained in the calf's footprint. So we can see that how vast the ocean is of that supreme bliss when one gets in the direct contact of the Holy Name. But still, Gopal Chakravarti was not at all happy, and he said that if one is not liberated by Nama Bhas, then, you know, he said, I will cut off your nose. So this is a kind of a bet that, you know, Gopal Chakravarti, you know, he placed before Haridas Thakur, and he said that if one is not liberated by Namabhav, then you better be certain that I shall cut off your nose. And Haridas Thakur accepted this challenge that was offered by Gopal Chakravarti. And he said that if by Namabhas liberation is not available, then I shall cut off my nose. That's for sure. So this challenge that was put forward by Gopala Chakravarti was very much accepted by Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur simply accepted it. But the members who were present in that assembly, when they heard the challenge, they got really agitated. And they got up and they started, you know, especially Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, they both immediately started chastising this Gopala Chakravarti. And even the priest, who was Balaram Acharya, he also chastised Gopala Chakravarti, and he said, Balai Purohita Tare Karila Bhatsana Ghata Patiya Murkha Tumi Bhakti Kahajana. And he said that Balaram Acharya, he chastised Gopal Chakravarti, and he said, you are a foolish logician. What do you know about devotional service of the Supreme Lord? So we'll spend some time on this verse. This is verse number 201. And very beautifully in purport, Prabhupada explains that what is the, why he is calling him as a foolish logician, because what is the logic that Gopal Chakravarti is using, and why he said that, what do you know about the devotional service of the Lord? So I'll read the purport. So in purport, Prabhupada writes, what is the philosophy of Gopal Chakravarti? So Prabhupada is saying that he is a foolish logician, and he was a Mayavadi, and his philosophy is Ghatapatiya. What is this Ghatapatiya? Ghata means pot, and patiya means earth. So what is this philosophy of pot and earth, the philosophy of Ghatapatiya? So Prabhupada writes that according to this philosophy, everything is one. Such philosophers, they do not find any distinction between the pot made of earth and the earth itself, because they think that everything is made up out of earth. The source of everything is earth. All the ingredients that is used in making the pot, you can say the clay, the water, the air, or maybe the fire. Yes, the fire is also used in making the pot. So all these ingredients that is being used in making a pot, the source of all these ingredients is earth. So the pot has come from the earth. And then the source basically of making that pot is coming from the earth. In one sense, the pot is earth, because the pot is taking all the ingredients from earth. So as per the logic of Gopala Chakravarti, he said that there is no difference between pot and earth, because pot is deriving all its ingredients from earth. So if earth is the source of pot, then what is the difference between pot and earth? They both are on the same platform. So the pot is earth, he's saying. So this is the philosophy of Gopala Chakravarti, and we all know that this philosophy is a typical Mayavad philosophy, where they think that everything is one. Whereas, as per Lord Chaitanya, he says, Prithvi aiche ghata kulera karana ashraya, jivera nidana tumi tumi sarva ashraya. So this is one of the beautiful pastimes. This verse was spoken by Brahmaji. So it's been translated in Bengali by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So just to set up a context, that Brahmaji, we all know that after Brahma Vimona Leela, he came back to the Supreme Lord and he begged Lord's pardon for doing such an offensive act, and he prayed for Lord's mercy. And he said that I took bird from the lotus that grew from your navel. So definitely you are my father, you are my mother, and I'm just like your son. So just as parents, they don't take seriously the offenses that have been committed by their children. Therefore, I please also beg pardon from you. So please forgive me and bestow all your mercy on me. And to this, Sri Krishna say, "Oh Brahma, what are you talking about? How come I can be your father? I'm just a cowherd boy. How can you be my son? Your father is Narayana." And to this, Brahmaji replied, "So that means you are not Narayana? You are certainly Narayana." And then he quotes a lot of proof that, you know, how this Krishna, who is a coward boy, is Narayana. And then he said that as the earth, this verse, Prithvi aiche ghata kulera karana ashraya jivera nidana tumi tumi sarva ashraya. So he said that this is the right philosophy that Brahmaji is setting. And he's saying that as the earth is the original cause and shelter of all the parts that are made up of earth, similarly, you are the ultimate cause and shelter of all living beings. So what Brahmaji is also saying, the same thing, that the pot that is being made out of the ingredients that is being provided by earth, that earth is the original cause. Original cause is the source of making that pot, because the pot is made up of earth. Similarly, O my Supreme Lord, you are the ultimate cause of all the jivas. Basically, the whole material universe, you are the cause of everything. That's why we say Krishna is the cause of all causes, right? But there is a little twist in the understanding of the same message. What Gopal Chakravarti is saying, that since the pot is deriving all the source or deriving all the ingredients from the earth, so definitely there is no difference between pot and earth. But here, what Brahmaji is saying, that since the earth is the cause of everything, since you are the cause of everything, that you are the cause of this whole universe, but that doesn't mean that you are one with the universe. You're getting my point? That what Gopala Chakravarti is saying, that there is no difference between pot and earth, because pot is taking all the ingredients from earth. But no, the pot has its own identity. Though the source of making the pot is earth, but that doesn't mean the pot becomes earth or the earth becomes pot. So this is the major difference in Gauriya Vaishnava philosophy and the philosophy of Mayavad. So here what Brahmaji is saying, that you are the Lord of the whole cosmic manifestation and everything comes from you. So this material world is also coming, is just a manifestation of your energy. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed, the philosophy of Achintya Abheda Abheda Tattva, which states that yes, the Supreme Lord is the cause and effect of everything, simultaneously one with his manifestation of energy and different from them. Means qualitatively, yes, we are one with the Supreme Lord, but quantitatively there is a huge lot of difference. So that's why, you know, it's been Balram Acharya, you know, chastised Gopal Chakravarti, saying that you are a foolish logician. Means whatever logic you are placing, it's based on all foolish commentaries. And then he said that you have insulted Haridas Thakur, but better be prepared for all the consequences, because now you cannot expect anything auspicious happening to you because you have blasphemed a Vaishnava. And at that time, Haridas Thakur, he got up to leave, and all the Majumdars, they immediately kicked out Gopala Chakravarti, and they dismissed him from all kinds of service. And when all the members of the assembly, the two Majumdars, they fell on the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, very smilingly in a sweet voice, he said, Tomara Shabara Dosha Nahi E Ajam Brahmana Tara Dosha Nahi Tarka Tarka Nishtamana. He says that none of you are at fault, but this ignorant so-called Brahmana is also not at fault. Then he is not even considering the fault of Gopala Chakravarti. That's the position of a Vaishnava. He's saying none of you are at fault, and even this Brahmana, who is a Gopala Chakravarti, he is also not at fault, because he is accustomed by a dry speculation and logic. So he's saying that even he is not at fault. The only thing is that his philosophy itself is based on dry speculation. And then he said, one cannot understand the glories of holy name simply by any kind of logic and argument. Man has to really dive into the holy name to experience the holy name. You just cannot explain. Like, for example, if I tell you that you have not eaten, ever seen a sweet mango, and I keep on describing, wow, the mango is so sweet, it is yellow in color, and you know, there is a huge pulp, and that pulp literally goes down to your throat, and it's a whole bliss of eating a mango. How much I can explain you, but still you'll not get the taste of mango because you have not seen it. But once you taste the mango, you can experience yourself how sweet it is, and how the mango has seed, and how sweet its pulp is. So you can understand when you experience it. Similarly, even Haridas Thakur said that this chanting of holy name, it is so delicious, it is so glorious, but one who has not tasted it cannot understand that how sweet the holy name is. But those who have tasted it, those who have relished holy name, can understand the glories of holy name. And then continuing, he said, now, Haridas Thakur said, I really request all of you to please go to your respective home. And then he said, may Krishna bestow his blessings upon you, and do not be sorry because I was insulted. You better don't feel any kind of sorry. And to this, Prabhupada writes the very famous verse of Sri Chaitanya Shikshashtakam, Trinadapi Sunitena Tarorapi Sahishuna Manina Manadena Kirtanaya Sadahari. That a Vaishnava is always tolerant and submissive. He doesn't take care that who has insulted him or whatsoever. The Vaishnava thinks that all others are Vaishnavas. I am the only one who is not a Vaishnava. That's the mood of a Vaishnava. It doesn't, the insults of others doesn't affect the Vaishnava. But he is very careful that he himself or she himself doesn't affect other Vaishnavas or insult other Vaishnavas. And then what happened was, Hiranyadas Majumdar, he returned to his home and he ordered that Gopal Chakravarti should never be admitted there. So then what happened is that within 3 days, this Gopal Chakravarti, he got attacked by a very serious disease, that is leprosy. And because of leprosy, his highly raised nose melted away and it fell off. So this was the result. You know, remember that how he said that if Gopala Chakravarti told Haridas Thakur that if this Namabhas doesn't provide liberation, then I'll cut off your nose. And Haridas Thakur accepted that challenge. But then, you know, within 3 days, the instant karma worked, and this Brahmana, this Gopala Chakravarti, he got leprosy, and his highly raised nose melted away and it fell off. Now remember why I was telling that how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was telling or narrating all the beautiful physical form of Gopala Chakravarti. So there he said the Brahmana's toes and fingers, which were so beautiful, like a golden colored champaka buds. So that how beauty, you know, the beauty of his seven toes and fingers. But everything got caught of leprosy and everything got withered away, and gradually his toes, his fingers, and his highly raised nose, everything got gradually melted away because of that disease. Now, seeing this condition of Gopala Chakravarti, everyone got astonished and everyone praised the influence of Haridas Thakur, and they paid obeisances to him. Now, although Haridas Thakur, you know, he was a Vaishnava, he did not take seriously this Brahmana's offense, but the Supreme Lord, he cannot tolerate it. And thus he made the Brahmana suffer all the consequences of insulting and blaspheming a Vaishnava. So this is the point, you know, we should also try to understand that a Vaishnava himself will never take any offense. So even if in our day-to-day life, if we feel that, you know, we have offended some Vaishnava, so the best thing is that we should go and ask forgiveness. The other Vaishnava might forgive us or may not even consider any offense. But Krishna is such that he doesn't forget any offenses that have been committed against his devotees. Bhakta Swabhava, what is the Bhakta Swabhava? Agya Dosha Shama Kare. Bhakta Swabhava, Bhakta's nature, devotee's nature is that he forgives others' mistakes. Right, but Krishna Swabhava, what is Krishna Swabhava? Bhaktaninda Sahite Napar. Krishna's nature is that one who commits the Vaishnava aparad, he cannot tolerate. Sahite Napar, he cannot at all tolerate. Krishna's nature is such that he cannot tolerate the insult or the blasphemy of his devotees. The bhakta, the devotee, can forgive, can excuse all kind of give forgiveness or excuse all kind of offenses, but Krishna cannot. That's the nature of Krishna. And to this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he states this, Prabhupada writes a very, very beautiful purport, and he says that this is what a Vaishnava aparad is. When we chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord, before that we normally recite these 10 offenses. Right, and one of the first offense actually is to blaspheme the Vaishnavas who have dedicated their whole life in propagating the holy name of the Lord. So this Vaishnava aparad, yadi Vaishnava aparade ute hati mata, this Vaishnava aparad is just like a mad elephant. It is known as hati mata, means the mad elephant offense. Why it is known as mad elephant offenses? The example is being given that when you are being given the seeds, when you plant a seed, the small creeper grows, you know, and then as soon as the creeper grows, it flourishes more, and then you have more plants, more creepers, so you have a beautiful garden there. But now what happened, if somehow this mad elephant enters your garden, what can you expect? The whole garden will be ruined, right? It's a beautiful verse. Yadi Vaishnava aparada uttam hati mata. If Vaishnava aparada, if somebody has done an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, it is just like a mad elephant offense. Why? Upade vachinde tara shukhi hayaya pata. It uproots. Upade. Upade means it uproots all the creepers. Vachinde, or it breaks. Either it can uproot or it breaks all kind of creepers, tara. And shukhi yaya pata. And when everything gets break up or uprooted, then what do you expect from a tree? Every leaf, every stem of that tree gets shriveled away. Sukh jata, right? It gets dried up. So the whole creeper, the whole garden is at mess if the mad elephant enters into your garden. So this is what the Vaishnava aparad is. It is compared to a mad elephant offense. Why? Because Just like the creeper is spoiled, similarly, if we execute any kind of devotional service. But if we commit this Vaishnava aparad, then the whole our spiritual life will be doomed. All our devotional service will be spoiled, just like how mad elephant spoils every creeper of that garden. So that is why it is the biggest offense, and one should really be careful of committing any kind of Vaishnava aparad. But then the question may be asked, how can you restrict your garden to be spoiled by that mad elephant? How can you restrict this mad elephant come into your garden? The only way is that you defend your creeper by fencing it around, right? So if you fence your whole garden, then definitely the elephant cannot enter into that garden. And what is this fencing is? This fencing is just like following the four regulative principles, and the best is associating with the pure devotees. So if we are always associating with the like-minded devotees, then there will be no question of committing any kind of Vaishnava aparad. So this, you know, this aparad is as such that if we keep on, contemplating that, oh, I don't have to commit Vaishnava aparad, I don't have to commit Vaishnava aparad, I have to save my creeper, I have to save my creeper of devotional service, I have to fence it around with the association of devotees, I should follow the four regulative principles. And, you know, every time if we contemplate that I don't have to commit Vaishnava aparad, if negative, negative, negative comes, then one day what will happen, we will commit a Vaishnava aparad. So better is we should not feed with the negative thoughts, but rather we should feed with the positive thoughts. Our mind should be fed with positivity. And what is that? That we should serve all the devotees of the Lord. We should appreciate their good qualities. So if we keep on feeding with the positive attitude, then definitely the commission, the committing Vaishnava aparad will not happen. But if we keep on contemplating, oh, I don't have to do it, I don't have to do it, you know, one day it will turn up that we'll do it, either by words or by actions or by our deeds. We can do it. But the thing is that we should try to feed our mind with the positivity that I am going to serve all the Vaishnavas. All other are Vaishnavas, I am the one who is not a Vaishnava. In the Skanda Puran, actually, it lists out the six kind of Vaishnava aparads. First is to kill a devotee, second is to blaspheme a devotee, third is to become envious of a devotee, fourth is even to get angry on a devotee, fifth is to fail to offer respect to a devotee, and sixth is do not feel happy or blissful or joyful upon seeing a devotee. So these are the six kinds of Vaishnava aparad. So we should be really careful of it, because we know the consequences, the consequences be really great. Because once we commit a Vaishnava aparad, the equation is not between the devotee whom we have insulted and between us. No. The moment we commit Vaishnava aparad, interference of Krishna is there in that equation. And when Krishna interferes in that equation, then there is no more dealing with that devotee. Then Krishna takes over the charge. And therefore it is said, Krishna Swabhava is that Bhaktaninde Sahitanapar. He cannot tolerate if anybody blasphemes a devotee. So Haridas Thakur, he was also such a kind Vaishnava, such a simple-hearted, a magnanimous Vaishnava, that when he heard that the Brahmana has got leprosy, even he felt unhappy. He was very unhappy that how Gopal Chakravarti had been attacked by leprosy. But, later what he did, he informed Balramacharya, who was the priest, and he informed Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar that now I'm leaving this place. And then he left for Shantipur, and he went at the home of Advaita Acharya. So Haridas Thakur even left that place of Chandpur, and he wasn't happy with whatever happened. You know, if we would have been in his place, we would have felt, oh, see, I told you, right? And that's what happened. See, now you have to bear all your consequences. Your nose has been fell off. That shows that I was truth and whatever I was saying was perfectly right. No, that's not the mood. The devotee doesn't always want to prove himself or herself. You know, when Krishna gets involved, devotee takes a side. So that's what happened, that even Haridas Thakur was not at all happy when he heard this news of Brahmana getting attacked by leprosy. He was not at all happy. He repented on it. But then, you know, he just left that place and he went to Shantipur to meet Advaita Acharya. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami will quote another section that what happened when he went to Shantipur to meet Advaita Acharya. So we'll stop here. Thank you all so much for joining and thank you for patiently listening. So we'll stop here. I stopped at 214 and from tomorrow, the next episode of Advaita Acharya meeting Haridas Thakur, we'll start with text number 215. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. I felt the whole class was actually tailor-made to me. I can see a lot of Gopal Chakravarti within myself. And it was very, very evident as you were speaking. Thank you for the class. And that is a personal problem, so I should handle it. I won't ask it as a question. But my question will be more on the Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. So this whole incident of this Haridas Thakur moving from Benapola to Chandpur, and then to Shantipur happened all before the advent of Lord Chaitanya, is it?
Before the advent of Lord Chaitanya.
That is one part of the question. And the second part of the question is, did Haridas Thakur, I have like different parts of the same question. Second part of the question is, was Haridas Thakur already, did Haridas Thakur already have the association of Advaita before this, Advaita Acharya before this? And the third part of the question is, so we see the, you know, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami introduces Haridas Thakur in this chapter, we see that, you know, he just says that Vrindavandas Thakur has written so much about him, about Haridas Thakur, but I would just like to start off with a few incidents, and then and he says in past tense that Haridas Thakur lived in at one point in Benapur, then the prostitute incident, then he moves to Chandpur. Okay, and then there he has this this incident with Gopal Chakravarti, and then he moves on to the next place, Shantipur, where again he meets Advaita Acharya, and they embrace and they cry and they hug each other. So basically, when the introduction itself of Haridas Thakur in this chapter, we see that Haridas Thakur is already chanting the holy names, meaning he's been introduced to the process and he's been chanting the holy names, and he's pretty young. The point is that if he's already been chanting, then how did he get exposed to Vaishnava association? Who inspired him to chant? And so on. These are my questions, Mataji. They're all somewhat connected, but then if you can... Maybe Chaitanya Bhagavat. I'm not read it, so that's why I'm asking.
Even I haven't read, and your questions make sense. But what I have heard is that, yes, Haridas Thakur was chanting 300,000 names of Lord before Lord Chaitanya advent. It's not that, you know, before Lord Chaitanya, there was no Vaishnava philosophy. There was. Advaita Acharya was there.
Right.
Haridas Thakur was there. So definitely the philosophy of Krishna consciousness or the philosophy of this chanting the holy name was there. So he was being introduced, and therefore he started this chanting. So this definitely, all these incidents are before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented, because this is all about his youth time. And when Mahaprabhu came, Haridas Thakur was in his old age.
And then he moved to Jagannath Puri.
He moved to Jagannath Puri, yes. And then, you know, the whole pastime of Gambhira happened.
So right. What Krishna Saviraj Goswami is not quoting any chronological orders. Definitely they are not. He's just narrating the pastimes.
Of Haridas Thakur.
Of Haridas Thakur.
And also, is there any pastimes, where in Shantipur already, or maybe in a previous place where Advaitacharya came from, or where the Advaitacharya and Haridas were already friends like that? Because now they're going to meet again.
That I'm not sure of, because how
Jagai Madai pastime and all, it happens after Lord Chaitanya, right?
Yeah. Oh yes, obviously that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So then
so now when from Chandpur, when he'll go to Shantipur, that I'm not sure of, and I don't want to speculate that whether it will be the first time that he'll be meeting Advaitacharya. Okay. Or he has already met, that even I'm not sure of.
Yeah. And also we see, as the future verses go, because I was just looking through the future verses and that's when I had all these questions. So in the future verses, it does say that Haridas Thakur moved to Shantipur, and then you see Advaita Acharya praying with the Ganges water, asking Lord Chaitanya to descend and all that. Sure that I get it right.
Yeah. So that's for sure, that all these pastimes of Gopala Chakravarti about this and other about this Ramachandra Khan, definitely it happened before Lord Chaitanya's advent. Mm-hmm. And that is also, there is no doubt that the philosophy was not prevailing at that time. The philosophy was there, Advaita Acharya was there, Nityananda Prabhu was there, and the philosophy was still there. Yes, this meeting with Advaitacharya in Shantipur, as far as I think, it's for the first time that he's been moving and now he'll meet Advaitacharya.
And is there is there any indication who actually maybe initiated or inspired Haridas Thakur to take up chanting? Is there any indication anywhere in Bhagavad?
No. I haven't read Chaitanya Bhagavat fully.
Okay.
But as far as I know, there is no mention.
No mention. Thank you.
But how Haridas Thakur got influenced into this chanting of holy name.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. The class was very nice. As always, directly speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the wonderful class. And I have a lot of corrections on my part to work on. Thank you so much for the one.
Maybe, in future verses, if something gets cleared up, you'll come to.
Sure, my sister.
Sure. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Anyone wants to ask any questions or any comments to Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the very lively class.
Hare Krishna.
Just one question. There was a little bit of confusion for me.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. When you were saying that if we were to offend a Vaishnav, you said there's no question of, it being between just us and that Vaishnav, because Krishna immediately enters that equation. And so I was trying to reconcile that with what the other thing that we always hear, which is that, you cannot deal with Krishna in such an incident. You have to go directly to the Vaishnav for forgiveness. Krishna doesn't want to hear from you. You have to go directly to the Vaishnav. So in that sense, it seems that it is between the Vaishnav and the offender. So just trying to reconcile.
Yes, very beautiful, Gaurangi Mataji. So what I was trying to explain is that, yes, if we commit a Vaishnava Prad, and it's up to us now
if we keep quiet and if we don't ask forgiveness from that Vaishnava, the very first thing is that we should go and ask forgiveness. Like Gopala Chakravarti, you know, he committed a Vaishnava prat, he insulted. And if he would have regretted on his words and his deeds, and he would have gone to Haridas Thakur and asked forgiveness, then the situation would have been different. So if we have also committed a Vaishnava prat, then definitely the only thing is to ask forgiveness from that Vaishnava. That's the only solution. Okay. But if we just keep quiet, not even realize that we have committed a Vaishnava prat, at that situation, I was saying that Krishna intervenes and he comes in that situation. And then Krishna takes over. Even though the other Vaishnava may or may not forgive us, because he's a Vaishnava, he'll definitely forgive us. But if we, on our part, do not realize that we have committed any kind of Vaishnava prat, then Krishna intervenes and then we have to bear all the consequences. Because Krishna never forgets. Yeah, Krishna never forgets if somebody insults a Vaishnava. So it's up to us. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll say for myself, we don't even realize that we have committed an aparad. We don't even realize. That's true, because this aparad can not only be committed through our dealings, it can be committed through our thoughts also. Right? So we don't know how and when the other Vaishnava is being insulted by our words, by our deeds, or by our actions anyway. So at that time, you know, Krishna intervenes. So what the point I was saying is that if we do not respond to that situation, then Krishna intervenes. But if we immediately respond, and how we will get to know that we have committed, we lose taste in our chanting, we lose taste in our reading of Srimad Bhagavatam or doing any kind of Krishna conscious activity. So if we lose taste in our devotional service, that will be an alarm to us that we have committed some Vaishnava prat. And then at that time we can introspect and see, you know, what I have done, with whom I would have, it would have happened. And then if we find a solution, then yes, we can immediately go to that Vaishnava, serve him, beg down to his lotus feet, and, you know, try to serve him as far as possible and ask forgiveness. But if still at that time we cannot introspect, then yes, we have to chant more and ask Krishna to please help me, so that Krishna will guide us, that whom I have offended and when I have offended, and definitely Krishna will guide us, and then we can take appropriate action. You got it, Mataji, what I was trying to say?
Yes, it was very clear. Thank you. As you were speaking, you said something else just now that raised a question, and I just forgot what it was. You were
the point that you wanted to ask is that when she said that Haridas Thakur left the place because it is the equation between Krishna and him. Already Gopal Chakravarti was punished. So then he left the place. He didn't want to interfere further into that situation and he left the place. So at this point, the equation was between Krishna and Gopal Chakravarti. So that's when Haridas Thakur went. That's what she was trying to say. Is that what you were asking?
No. She answered the question. I was asking, you know, on the one hand, we hear that, you know, we're supposed to go directly to the Vaishnav when we offend them. You know, Krishna, it's not that we are to go to Krishna for forgiveness, we go to Vaishnav, the Vaishnav that was offended. But when she was giving the lecture, she had also said that Krishna does not get involved. Krishna gets involved. It's not that it's between the offended Vaishnava and the one who did the offending. Krishna, you know, Krishna is not between those two. Is Krishna gets involved there. So trying to reconcile what sounded like contradictory, you know, instructions.
But I explained it, right? So now you got it.
Yeah, I did. You explained it. It was very clear. But then when Mataji came and was trying to, like, kind of... Yeah, it was. It seemed like she was addressing a different question. So.
Yeah, maybe. But your question got cleared, right?
Completely. It was completely clear. I was only saying that in the course of your explaining, then another question came up to me. But then I forgot what the question was.
Okay, no worries. You can always.
But the original question was very, your answer was very clear for me.
Thank you, Janangi Mataji. And as soon as you get the question, if the call is disconnected, then you can always reach out to me personally.
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your association.
And thank you for your work. It's killing me right now. That is like, I know it's right near my tongue. Anyway, I will have to listen to the answer again. Maybe it was about the envy. I know one of the things was that, you know, yeah, I think this was it. When, you know, we hear that in Kali Yuga, you know, our thoughts, even though, you know, very often our thoughts do eventually manifest in the form of action. But in Kali Yuga, we often hear that because of our condition, those thoughts aren't held against us.
Yeah, yeah, I got your question. That in Kali Yuga, we often hear that if in our thoughts we are offending any Vaishnava or doing any aparad, it won't count. Right? But you answered yourself that eventually those thoughts will turn in the form of action. If we keep on in our thoughts, if we keep on blaspheming any Vaishnava or anybody, if we keep on doing it, then those thoughts will be so deep-rooted in our heart that one day it will get manifested in our action. But yes, that's true, that till the time it is in our thoughts, it won't bear any kind of reaction, because this is the benediction of a Kali Yuga, that through our thoughts, if we commit any offense, it won't yield to any reaction. But we have to guard ourselves that if we keep on contemplating on those thoughts, then those thoughts will be so deep-rooted that one day it will take it in a form of an action and we will commit an aparad. So better we should check our thoughts before it gets deep-rooted.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we were on the
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. It's very nice class. Mataji, I have two questions. So I do understand the fact that there was a discussion where Balaram Acharya invited Haridas Thakur to give a discourse among Brahmanas and devotees. And here we see that Gopal Chakravarti is kind of faithless in the sense he follows Mayavad. But what's the point of instructing the glories of the holy name to a faithless person like Gopal Chakravarti? I do understand the point. There is this forum and people are discussing, katha is going on. But I just wanted to understand it from the perspective that is it okay to, because sometimes it's just a waste of time because they are bound up on their logic and
Very nice question, Mataji. Thank you so much for putting that. There is also an offense, you know, to instruct a faithless person on the glories of the holy. It's a ninth offense, and you know we should not commit it. But you know, that offense, first of all, I'll tell you about that offense, what the basis of that offense is. The basis of that offense is that somebody who is literally a Mayavad, who doesn't have any basis on any kind of theistic philosophy. This is our theistic philosophy because we believe in the personal form of the Lord. So to them, if we go deep into telling the glories of the holy name or discussing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, definitely they'll not able to understand, and that will be an offense on our part. But devotees, because since we are in the preaching movement, we always go out and tell others about the glories of the holy name, and they chant. And Prabhupada says that my devotees take risk of committing this ninth offense. We don't talk to them with all the intimate pastimes of the divine couple, but yes, we tell them the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of reading scriptures, the glories of Shastras, the glories of holy name. We do discuss, especially in our Bhakti Viksha, and especially in our local congregation. We don't know what kind of people are coming. And especially in the universities, we go and preach. We go and preach to all those Westerners who don't even have any kind of philosophy, whether theistic or atheistic. But the point what is that Prabhupada says that my devotees, my disciples, go to an extent of committing this ninth offense. They have this risk of committing because we are in the preaching movement. This is the first thing, so we have to understand that there is no harm in glorifying the Supreme Lord, in glorifying the holy name. But yes, we have to be considerate enough that the other person is lending, you know, his ear. Now, come to this pastime where Haridas Thakur and Gopal Chakravarti is there. Yes, so Haridas Thakur was simply, you know, he was glorifying the holy name. And he was telling, because somebody from the assembly stood up and said, oh yes, glory name, you know, the glories of holy name is the effect of holy name, chanting the holy name is that it frees you from all kind of material bondage and it nullifies the reactions of your sinful activity. So that, you know, Haridas Thakur, he just simply quoted that these are the byproducts. Okay, so the best result of chanting is that it awakens the Krishna Prema. And these are all the byproducts, and this byproducts can achieve only at the Namabha stage also. So Shuddha Nam gives you much more. So he just commented on those. Just a healthy discussion was going on, right? He just wanted to correct the understanding of the people who were in that assembly. At that point, Gopal Chakravarti came in. He was there, but he stood up and he basically insulted and he said, how can you say that the holy name at a Namabha stage can provide liberation? And then he provided his own philosophy of this, you know, that how there is no difference between the stone, the spot and earth, everything is one. Then he started on. And at that time, Haridas Thakur, with a healthy discussion, he just said, why are you so doubtful about it? Because there are devotees who have achieved this transcendental bliss and they are least bothered of any kind of liberation. So till that time, it was a very healthy discussion. And he just said, why are you being so doubtful about it? Which was quite healthy and it was quite okay, because a devotee just cannot stop oneself from, you know, if somebody is simply putting up a question or blaspheming the holy name or glories of the holy name. One cannot stop, and it's quite obvious. So he didn't take it in a debate form. He just simply said, why are you so being doubtful? Because holy name is such that it can bestow all kind of bliss. And just at the Namabha stage, one can achieve liberation. Why are you so being doubtful? At that time, either he would have stopped or he would have put another debated question that would have been worked. But Gopal Chakravarti was so offensive that he immediately said, that if you think that by Namabhas one can achieve liberation, then I shall cut off your name. So immediately he was being offended. And as soon as Haridas Thakur heard, he accepted the challenge and he kept quiet. He immediately kept quiet. He didn't start another, you know, glorification of the holy name, or he didn't start another debate. He immediately stopped that, yes, if you think that, you know, Gopal Chakravarti said that if you think that liberation can be done by Namabha stage, then yes, I'll cut off your nose if it is not true. And then Haridas Thakur accepted it and he kept quiet. He didn't glorify anything further. You're getting my point? That yes, how it was, yes, not an offense.
It was not a happen, yes, because a devotee cannot keep quiet if somebody is saying something. So he simply said, don't be so doubtful, because this is not my concoction, it's scripture. And he quoted the scripture also. He said, scriptures only say. And he quoted this verse from Hari Bhakti Shodhya.
Right. Right. Absolutely. He was also responding to the call. I mean, to the, he was actually responding to the forum, because that had to be answered. So it definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
He didn't bring this up on his own also. It was...
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes perfect
but rather
sense.
Gopal Chakravarti was quite offensive that he immediately brought up this point that, you know, either you cut off my nose or I cut off my nose.
Absolutely. Makes perfect sense. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Today, you know, every time Vinita Gandharvika Mataji will tell me to be on video, and I'll somehow hesitate in coming on video, but past few classes I've been giving on video. So now even I am feeling that sense of impersonalism, because I'm not on video, I'm on call. I'm not able to.
Mataji, we know that you have some problem with your internet. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinita Mataji. Today, I'm feeling a sense of impersonalism. I'm not able to connect with all of you. Yeah.
Even same here, Mataji. We are also not able to. I was missing your beautiful face, your expressions too, when you're giving the class.
Yes, Mataji. Even I'm missing everything. Okay, Shama Supriya Mataji, you want to take over now? End the call? No questions?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, Mataji. So, thank you so much, Mataji. I don't have any questions, Mataji, but as usual, the class is very enlightening and very beautiful, Mataji. So, Mataji, with your permission, devotees on the call permission. So, I would like to end the call, Mataji. Vancha Kalpatakubhyasya Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrindaki Jai Namachari Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Har Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji. Once
thank
again, for this very beautiful and enlightening class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.